Some of you may remember me referring to the EPR paradox in the past. It's named for the three great physicists, Einstein, Dolsky, and Rosen. They first noticed it in 1935. This physics theory goes like this. A pair of particles is produced by an event that sends them off in opposite directions. Their production requires that they have opposite spins. And here's the paradox. No matter how far apart the particles go, perhaps light years from each other, they remain entangled in such a way that when the spin of one is measured, the wave function of the two-particle system is set to collapse, and the other particle instantly acquires a spin opposite of the particle measured. Got that? Okay, in case that wasn't clear, basically what it's saying is that no matter how far apart, even at distance that takes light years to travel, no matter how far apart the particles are, if one changes direction, so does the other. Somehow, in spite of all the physics that we know and believe, they remain connected to each other. Einstein called this spooky action at a distance. It's spooky because there currently is no way to conclusively explain it. The mystery is how the particles manage to stay entangled or correlated when relativity theory makes it impossible for information between the two to travel faster than light. For Einstein, in his later years, the EPR paradox was what he called the old one's malicious little joke. Don't miss, though, what this little physics factoid implies. It reminds us of a fundamental truth about life and living on this planet. A fundamental truth that resonates within each and every one of us. An essential truth that I think most of us get at a gut level, even if we can explain it in our hearts more than in our minds. That truth, quite simply put, is that everything is interconnected. All things. Human beings and otherwise. We're all somehow mysteriously tied together in ways that we cannot begin to imagine, let alone explain. I don't understand the physics of it, but according to the EPR paradox, it is apparently true all the way down to the smallest blocks of creation. And if that seems too far-fetched for you, consider this. I doubt there's a single person in this room who has not looked up in the sky to see flocks of birds twisting and turning in flight. Now this way, now that, together as a flock, never a moment's hesitation in the entire community of birds, they move as if they were somehow united, somehow joined, even though there's clearly no physical connection between them. There are more things under heaven and earth that are dreamt of in philosophies as well, in ways that cannot explain or comprehend, yet state in fact, and state emphatically, that all life is connected together. And that's what Jesus is telling his friends this morning. I am the vine, you are the branches. He says, we're connected. You and I, deeply, intimately, inextricably connected. You are a part of me. I am a part of you. This theme of connectedness gets told over and over in John's Gospel. Just as I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, Jesus says, so am I in you, and you in me, and you in one another. As the Father and I are one, so also are you. course, that's not new to Christians. From our earliest beginnings, we've heard Paul say the same thing. You are the body of Christ. Paul said it, and we for millennia have chosen to believe it. And we have tended to apply that metaphor to the church, to the entire community of the faithful. And yet, when Jesus says he is vine and we are branches, he's not just talking about us. He's talking about all of us. Not just those sitting here in the pew. Not just those of us who call ourselves Christian. All of us. After all, if Jesus died for all, and we keep saying that, then why do we seem to have the need to say which branch is connected to which and which is not? And of course, if we're all truly connected, if everything and everyone is connected, really, then the next step to ask is, what's the point of all this church stuff? If God loves and accepts us all, if we're all branches connected to the vine, then why do we even bother coming? The answer is quite simple. We don't come to this place for ourselves. We come to this place for the sake of others. Of course God is present in every moment, in every experience. Of course we don't need to be here in order to know God and to experience God in our lives. When it comes right down to it, we can do that anywhere. But that's beside the point. We don't come for that. We come here because we are part of one another. We come here because we are connected to one another. Please don't miss that. We don't come here to get God's love. We come here, rather, to give God's love. And in a consumer-driven society such as ours, I can't say that emphatically enough. The question is not, what's in it for us? The question to be asked is, what's in us for others? You see, if enough of us can learn to bear fruit, when we learn to show God's love for one another, when we experience God's grace with one another, then what happens here in Emmanuel doesn't stay in Emmanuel. In this place, as we nurture and grow together, we grow so that we can spread that very nurture beyond this place, into this region, into this world, and beyond. Imagine what our lives might be like if we lived out the implication of that interrelatedness. Imagine what the church would be like if we saw ourselves as truly a part of one another, truly connected to one another, deeply, inseparably connected. Imagine what the world would be like if we all lived that way. Nothing could separate us. Nothing could alienate us one from another. No divisions of race or class or gender or ideology could divide us. If one was ill, all of us would consider ourselves ill. If one of us was joyful, all of us would rejoice. If one was poor, all would share what they had. If one was treated unjustly, all would suffer likewise in that indignity. The Christian concept of community and our interrelatedness to God, nature, and each other is a compelling vision of reality. It challenges us to see all our interactions in this life as sacred possibilities. It proclaims that the very nature of God and of the fabric of creation is built upon relationship. It holds out a dream of what the world would be like if humanity could but reach out and acknowledge that, no matter what our faith is or how distant we are ultimately from one another. Fruit bearing branches on the vine. May that be our dream. May that become our reality in the dream that we share with all of humanity. Amen.
Amen.